Blog Talk Radio.
Folks, how are you doing? Andy Kimball here from the Andy and Amanda Show. Starting a little late today. Got so bogged down with other things related to the show, actually, regarding the scheduling of some guests and some music related and phone issues. All these things happen today. Sorry we're late. We're here. It's going to be a brief show today just because we got so much going on here on the table regarding news and interviews and things we're doing for the show that we got to just, you know, there's only so many hours a day and so much time to do it. So we have Cornell has just joined us. Cornell, you on?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me clearly?
I hear you very clearly. How you doing, guy? How you doing? Sorry about the late.
Amanda should be coming on right in a second.
Very cool. There's Amanda.
It's very hot out here.
Hello.
There's Amanda. We got it. We salvaged it.
We got it.
Before you guys joined, I was apologizing to our audience for the late start. Almost was going to just not do a show today, and we figured, hey, we got the time slot. It's advertised. We should get on here at least, see a couple tunes or something. I don't know. Do something. But here we are. We got Amanda Love there. We got Cornell Butler. I'm Andy Kimball. This is the Amanda and Andy Show.
Amanda and whatever something show.
Our call-in number if you want to join us. If you've been reading about the show leading up to it and just couldn't wait to pick up the phone and dial in and say what's on your mind, you can do it by dialing 515-605-9888 or email the show andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Let us know. We will always want to know what is on your mind because nothing is on ours, you know.
I know. I feel that emptiness so often.
But yeah, you know, no respect. Yeah,
no, none. Oh my goodness! Well, it's Friday. Time to rock and roll, right? It's the weekend.
It is. It's Friday. I've been running around like crazy. Some things for the show, actually. Doing some, you know, trying to line up some, you know, put a schedule together or a tentative ballpark schedule together with some guests regarding a bunch of subjects, everything having to do with drugs, grief, and drug addiction.
Okay.
And ODing, yeah. And fentanyl to evolution and archaeology and geology and the, you know, tracing back of our ancestors millions of years by some very well-known famous anthropologists and anthropaleontologists from Arizona State University, ASU, Institute of Human Origins, to some very well-known news journalists, commentators, such as Chris Cuomo, formerly of Prime Time with Chris Cuomo on CNN, and, as I told you guys yesterday, the great, just fantastic. One of my favorite congresspeople is a guy by the name of Representative Jamie Raskin, confirmed that they will be joining the show in August or September. We'll probably do it in August, and he'll be joining our show as well. So we have a whole lot going on coming up here on the Andy and on the Schmidt, on the, what's the name of the show again? On the,
that's it. Oh my goodness, you're very blessed.
You know, it's great to be here. Great to be doing this. And we've been, folks, for those of you who are just joining us now, this is actually the Andy and Amanda Show. We are streaming internet talk radio. We are in about 24 or 25 countries, thereabouts. Thousands of listeners over the time span that we've been doing the show, which is about 18 months now, and over 430 some odd live episodes. And the shows go between an hour and a half. It used to be a 5 day a week show. We just every time we got off on the show, we were ready to do another, and it became too much work, honestly, So we went to 3 days a week, and it seems to be working for us. So that's what we do now. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yeah, and it's 11 p.m. where Amanda is. The best time to hear the show in the UK live is 11 p.m.
Yeah.
And at 6 p.m. where Cornell is on the East Coast, and at 3 p.m. in the Pacific Coast where I am in our Los Angeles studios, recording and radio show studios here. We're here.
Well, guys, I'm going to tell you, it's very hot in the East Coast. Very hot.
I heard about that. Yeah.
It's like 115 in Philadelphia.
It's what?
Wow.
Yes.
Seriously.
What? Did you say 115?
Yeah. 115.
I'm not asking for the time. I'm looking for the temperature. Is that right? 115?
115. Oh, my God. It's very hot.
Goodness.
You know what's interesting?
Oh, my God.
The Earth climate has changed throughout its history since the planet began to form billions of years ago. The current warming is happening at a rate not seen in the past 10,000 years. There's the actual rate of change. It is changing. It's always been changing since it formed 4.8 billion years ago. Of course it's changed.
Yeah.
That's how, or else we wouldn't be here, right? Okay, but it's got a predictable, normally there's a predictable rate of change. You don't see sudden knee jerks like this. Like imagine just like a graph, or EKG or something, where you have the boom, steady, pretty steady. All of a sudden, there's this knee jerk. Whoa, where'd that come from, and why is that, right? So what we're starting to see is irregularities within that rate of change. And according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, known as the IPCC, since systematic scientific assessments began in the 1970s, the influence of human activity on the warming of the climate system has evolved from theory to established fact. This is not theory. It is fact. The climate is changing. We as a population, who we are, we have something to do with that. There's scientific information which is taken from national and international sources such as, there's so many organizations that study this. And if you look at the sources of where these studies come from, such as, let's say, ice cores, rocks, tree rings, and from modern equipment like, what we measure the environment with. And we have actual instrumentation that we can detect this with. I mean, it's there. We see it. Satellites and instruments and earthbound instruments that all show the signs of changing climate. From global temperature rise to melting ice sheets, the evidence of warming planet abounds us. It's there. It is fact. And I can't believe that this day and age, with so much scientific evidence available, numbers, things that we can see, feel, touch, smell, see, I mean, it's evident everywhere. The rate of change since the mid-20th century is unprecedented over the millennia. I mean, it just, it irks me to hear conspiriologists. What do you call somebody who's a conspiracy freak?
I think they're just third class as conspiracy theorists, aren't they? That's the title.
I like my name better, conspiriologists.
Conspiriologists. That's really pretty sounding, actually. In fact, I think people would be quite proud to be called a conspiriologist. It's kind of fancy.
That makes it sound like they're actually educated, doesn't it? Like
it does.
Educated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah, right.
in the last 800,000 years, 800,000 years, there have been 8 cycles of ice ages and warmer periods. With the end of the last ice age, which was about just under 12,000 years ago, right in there, 11,700-ish, right in there, ballpark, right there. Around that time, which is marking the beginning of the modern climate era, which you're in right now, and of human civilization at the same time. Most of these climate changes are attributed to very, very small variations in the Earth's orbit, which does occur on a regular basis. And that changes the amount of solar energy that our plant receives, which is the spice of life, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and the current warming trend is different because it's a clearly, it's clear, it's visible. It's the result of human activity since the mid-1800s, that far back, but not nearly as rampant as modern technology and manufacturing and automobiles and all the different things that we're doing to affect the atmosphere in which we all have to survive in.
Yeah.
And it's proceeding at a rate that's never been seen before, since it's ever been tracked. It's
yeah.
different. There's knee jerks. There's things happening, changes that are very unlike those tendencies and trends which I just spoke of. It's unbelievable. And this is all fact.
Yeah.
And that's what our show does, by the way. We are in search of the truth. We are in search of fact. We like to back up things we say with numbers and evidence and science, not just here's what some conservative or liberal commentator said. It could go both ways. I'm a believer in that, and that's it. Later in the show, Cornell. Later in the show. We'll get there. We always do.
Absolutely.
But folks, it really is. Yeah, it is. And isn't it, do you agree that it's undeniable that human activities have produced the atmospheric gases that have trapped more than the sun's energy in the Earth's system that we all survive in?
They've certainly had a big impact on it, yeah.
And
not solely responsible. But I think what presents the interesting challenge that we face now is how our governments are going to implement the right kind of changes. I mean, we're not talking just about moving the energy sources, but how are we going to manipulate the landscape, such as buildings, to cope with the heat and structures?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the simple fact that roads are melting here in the UK. And the airport runway was melting in London. So they have to work on repairing that. So we need now a lot of funding put aside, not only for making these energy changes to try and reduce all of this. And let's face it, we're not going to heal it. It's impossible to reverse, I think.
No.
We've got to the point where this is irreversible. And it's just, I think, maybe delaying a process. I don't know. I'm no expert. I'm no scientific expert. But, you know, from all these scientists coming forward saying it's too late, all we can do now is just try and implement change right now. I've heard people say for years and years, Andy, and on social media and the mainstream media, the time is now. What does that mean? How long is now? Is it 10 years, 20 years, or this very moment? Everybody's saying the time is now, and that keeps being said. When does it stop being now? And, you know, so are we too late? Are we going to be delaying the inevitable?
See, what I think is right now we can all survive in the current climate, regardless of how hot it gets, no matter how cold it gets, no matter how many new hurricanes are spawned, which wouldn't be spawned normally because of the additional heat and trap heat within our atmosphere, which wasn't previously. We can all survive that, whether it be mass destruction because of hurricanes and weather changes and where people die from heat and blah, blah, blah. But as a population, we'll all survive for quite some time, for probably, you know, many generations to come. People will die as a result of global warming, but as a species, we will survive, right? But there will become a time, looking ahead, way beyond our lifetime, way beyond our lifetime, and our grandkids, and our great-grandkids, and God knows how many generations, there will be a time where we will not be able to survive.
Exactly.
Knowing that now and being responsible, shouldn't we do something about it? And people say, what can we do about it? Reduce our dependency on fossil fuels. Do more to facilitate the manufacture and availability of electric vehicles. No more fossil fuel combustion. No more fuel injection cars. All electric cars. And I'm going to, I'm a boater. I'm a sailor. Looking for a new boat. We all talked about that. And you know, I'm a sailing addict. I'm just going to relate this because it's something I can directly, you know, make tangible. In a sailboat. Of course, you depend on the wind for it to go, which is cool. You know, it costs a big motor yacht $200 to start his engine and go out the inlet. It doesn't cost me anything, right? Not that I have a boat right now, but usually, right? But here's the thing. Sailboats I'm looking at have incredible battery power, have and you get more if you want, 1,000 watts of solar panels on the top that covers the cockpit, on the bimini top. 1,000 watts. 3,000 watt inverter that takes battery power DC and converts it to AC. So I could take a sailboat and also a hydro propeller, a hydro generator. You put it on the back of the boat, and as the boat sails through the ocean, it spins around and charges the battery. Not only does that charge the battery, but also the solar panels charge the battery. And you also have a gas generator on there that takes diesel. You don't even need the generator, really, with this. But you can go take the sailboat that I just described and go out to sea and never come back. You never have to refuel. You never have to worry about energy. It's all there. Now, parlaying that into how do we run a municipality? We have wind generators. We have incredible ability to harness the energy of the sun and power city for a very long time. I don't care if there's a rainstorm and where it gets cloudy for days or weeks on end. We have the ability to harness the sun's energy, store it in batteries, and release that energy to our entire civilization in regional areas, and geographically. We can do that now. And what's polluting the air is manufacturing, is cars, smokestack emissions. And when you look what happened in the United States with our political body of the Supreme Court, just said it is against the law for the government to regulate how much pollution a factory can put into an air. So now it's free for all. Go ahead, pollute. Don't worry about. Go ahead and make your products. Make your pollute. I don't know.
And you hear various arguments as well, don't you? Because even electric cars produce a very small amount of pollution.
Yeah.
So although we're just toning it down, we're not actually stopping it. No. So you do get those people come back and say, okay, well, that's still not resolving the problem. It's just, just bringing it down a little. And I agree. But at the moment, it's the most suitable option for the way things stand, because people still need transport and ways to get around. And unfortunately, the electric vehicles are still the main way to go. Even if they are producing some sort of pollution, it's a lot less than what those other cars are.
Oh, significantly. It's minuscule compared to what a fossil fuel dependent engine produces. And now you have Elon Musk coming out with the another manufacturer as well, but Elon Musk coming out with the Cybertruck and also the big rig truck. I forget what he calls it. It's a tractor trailer truck that's going to carry a 53-foot trailer across the country with hands free.
Wow.
There'll be an operator in the car, but it'll go coast to coast without any pollution. A big rig, a big rig tractor trailer truck, no pollution, outside of the minuscule amount that you just addressed, Amanda. And the technology is there. The technology is there. Right now, we can do something about it. We can, what's interesting is with all the Earth orbiting satellites and new technologies that have helped scientists and folks that are into that see the big picture, collecting many different types of information about our planet and its climate from all points of the world.
Yeah.
The data connect, that's been collected over so many years reveal the signs and patterns of changing climate. And it's true. Who in the right mind, outside of a journalist who just wants to spew information, which they have no basis to base that information on, outside of a scientist saying, oh, I've seen the data. It's inconclusive. Well, how do you know? It's inconclusive. And then a journalist says, this professor from this school, whatever, says it's inconclusive. Therefore, I'm saying it is fact. Well, it ain't fact. There's too much evidence that disputes that fact. There's evidence. And I just don't get where people, whether they're professional journalists, commentators, TV person, whatever they are, radio people, I don't know where they get off in disputing what is right in front of your very eyes. It's like me saying it's a beautiful blue sky day, and then you saying, no, it's not. It's raining out. I don't see any moisture. What? It's a beautiful blue sky day. I'm getting a suntan. I'm out here with my
Andy, that's true for you, but it's rain for me in the UK.
It's always been in the UK. God.
Yeah.
So it's Cornell, so getting back to what you were saying, 115 degrees there. Holy crap! And that's the heat index. It might be his connection may have dropped because of climate.
Yes. See, that's what worries me, Andy. It's not just the fact that buildings and things are melting and things are crumbling, but also it's affecting power sources that exist on the external. So, you know, there's so many, what's the word, blackouts and things like that. And that's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying, power cuts and all sorts of things. We're going to have lots more issues in the future with heat affecting so many sources. I mean, just in Mexico alone, the time I spent in Monterrey, we had various power cuts all the time because it was so hot. And that's a common thing there. So, you know, things are heating up even more there as they are everywhere else in the world. I think this is going to be such a common thing and something they're going to have to address very quickly as well, I think. How to support that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't really think the Philadelphians and the East Coast is prepared for this type of weather because this is some different weather. I really don't. I mean, it feels like Arizona here.
Man, well, Arizona doesn't have the humidity, though. Arizona can get 115 degrees, which is, you know, 115 to 115. And that's actual weather. That's not the heat index. That's the actual temperature. But it's dry. You know, I just came back from there recently. It's 105, 108. And is it, you feel the sting of the sun at that temperature? Of course you do. I personally don't mind the heat.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have that than be freezing cold. That's just me personally. But but what you have, Cornell, is this incredible humidity.
Oh, my gosh. What I have. Please tell me what I have.
Oh, I'll tell you what I have.
Catastrophe.
That's what you have.
I just hope we don't have electricity messed up or something like that because everybody air conditioning will go off.
Speaking of which, we had
We're getting a call now. I think it's actually a scientist calling in. Right now, my God, the briefing says a scientist is right now in the, what desert? Sahara Desert on a hiking trip, putting temperature measuring devices in the sand every 3 miles.
Wow.
And they want to come on and talk about their expedition. They're calling right now from the Sahara Desert, doing environmental measurements and heat indexes in the Sahara. And they're doing this with very little water and a beach chair to sit in every half mile, just a beach chair to sit and get
just
some
beach chair
and some water. Let's bring him on here. It might be hard. It's Sahara Desert here. Let me see if I can get him in. Hello, are you with us? Sahara, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh. Oh my God.
It's hot as hell out here. It's hot as hell.
Oh my God.
The wind is blowing. The sand is in my eyes. I can't see. Wait a second. Is that you, Andy? Can you hear me?
You're on the Andy Demander show. Hi.
Oh shit! I thought I was ordering a pizza. Oh shit! I dialed the wrong number.
I'm
hungry out here.
Cook it on the ground.
I need a drink too, Cornell. I need a drink. Can you send me one? You got me a Corona over there or what? They don't have any out here in the desert. It's Friday. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, isn't it? Jesus, what time is it? I don't have a clock out here in the middle of nowhere.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, God.
How's camels doing?
Oh, yeah, the camels. You got camels with you.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, at least we're doing great, man. Friday, you know? Friday show. Yeah. Get ready for the weekend.
There you go. Cheers.
Yeah.
Bottoms up. Whatever.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah.
Bottoms up. T-shirts up. Get that wind on you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ooh, what t-shirt? You don't need a t-shirt out here in the Sahara.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's nobody around. You walk around wherever you want.
Yeah, there's a bunch of women are walking out there. There's a bunch.
I went to a number of women's groups and said, can you help us find folks?
Yeah.
Oh,
of course.
Oh, you must be careful to get sand in your crevices. That's just uncomfortable.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now that would be nasty.
Yes.
Well, Steve, are you, Lisa?
Hey, Amanda, how you doing? I'm all right. Welcome back to the other side of the world.
Hey, I know, right? It's been a
welcome
a
back to the dark side.
Yes. The dark side. It's actually true. It was very grey and raining today. It was just quite a change up. So it's like, ooh, okay. This is what it feels like to be cold again. It was interesting.
Awesome. So, yeah. I'm good. Everything's good.
We've been having a good time on the show. We're
constructive talks with a number of Afghan groups.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh my Lord.
Thank you.
That sounds interesting.
Yes, it's very good. Very.
We do it all on the show, Lisa. We do it all.
We do. Mm-hmm.
I see that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We try our best. Keep it varied, you know, keep it interesting.
So today I went and got my second booster shot. So that was interesting. Yeah, I went over there to the local pharmacy here. And,
yeah.
They were just giving them out, walk-in. So I thought, let me just see if they're going to give it. And she's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So, I was able to go in and get my...
Did you get the Modelo? The,
no, I got the Moderna. The Modelo? What are you drinking over there, Andy?
Modelo?
You need to share Modelo. Some of that stuff. That's some good stuff you got over there.
God.
No, I didn't get the Moderna this time. I got the Pfizer because they said once you have two of one, you can just mix them in after that. So I had the first three that were the Moderna, and this is the first time I had the Pfizer.
Wow, I'll be darned.
Yeah, I didn't know that because I told her I've always had the Moderna, and she said, that's fine. You know, after two, you can get whatever you want. So I had the Pfizer there at the local pharmacy, so I just got the Pfizer.
I heard that makes you
nice and tight after you're inside of it.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Is that what that feeling is? Is that what that feeling is? Oh my Lord, it's straight.
It's the swelling you got to be careful of.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
He was a human vacuum cleaner.
Thank you. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes,
thank you. Yes, he was. Unbelievable. You know, it is a Friday show. While we're here, we go back on Monday, of course. And Monday, we're going to have a very special guest back on the show for the second time who was with us, God, you know, I don't know, a year ago, maybe a long time ago. And that is other than the former director of NBC Radio News, Bob Kimmel, who was with NBC all during the Apollo launches in the 60s, 70s, before he went out and started his own public relations service. But he interviewed Jimmy Hoffa. Remember Jimmy Hoffa?
Yes.
Yeah.
Physically.
Jimmy Hoffa is going to be on our show.
Isn't he buried in a giant stadium there?
Well, he's going to be on our show Monday. We'll ask him.
That's been the rumor for 50 years now.
Oh, really?
Underneath the swamplands at Giant Stadium in Jersey.
That's what I heard.
That one surprised me.
And he's going to be on our show, Jimmy Hoffa, on Monday. And we'll ask him where he's buried, how he's doing, what's going on.
He might get poor reception where he's located, you know?
Hopefully not in hell.
Yeah.
But Bob Kimmel was a reporter with CBS News in Philadelphia in 1962 and had the sat down for lunch with Jimmy Hoffa and recorded an interview. And we have that interview exclusively here on the Andy and Amanda Show, playing it back now. And the interview pertained to Jimmy Hoffa had an iron hand on the Teamsters Union in the 60s. We all remember, you know, he was accused of, I don't think he ever convicted of, but accused of a lot of wrongdoings that spans, you know, a wide spectrum of financial misconduct. Bobby Kennedy, who was the attorney general at the time, was out to get him. He couldn't stand Bobby Kennedy. As a matter of fact, it was known that Jimmy Hoffa actually had discussions with folks as to how to eliminate Bobby Kennedy. But anyway, so there was a whole other faction of labor force that was opposed to Jimmy Hoffa's iron hand on the Teamsters Union and was going to start a separate, like a parallel Teamsters Union at the time. And evidently, some of the leaders of this union in Philadelphia were beat up by members of Hoffa's Teamsters. So Bob Kimmel confronted Jimmy Hoffa point blank. And we're going to hear Jimmy Hoffa's response on Monday's show. I'm not going to tell you about it. You're going to hear it firsthand on Monday's show. And what happened subsequently to that and how we know that was, in fact, Hoffa's henchmen that beat these guys up. We're going to talk about that on Monday. It's kind of interesting, real interesting. And I don't know how many of you may have seen or heard of the movie. I can't think of the name. It was a recent movie. Came out within the last couple of years. Amazing. Al Pacino. Look at that. His name wasn't even James. Al Pacino played Jimmy Hoffa.
What you're talking about.
It was incredibly good. And
it was
Betsy,
a great movie.
And the Peter Irishman. Betsy. Yeah. What's it called? The what?
The Irishman.
The Irishman.
Oh, yes.
And Peter Fetchy. Not Peter Fetchy. Joe Mechie. Joe Manchin? No.
Joe Pesci?
Yeah, thank you. Joe Manchin. Yeah.
How many drinks you had, Andy?
Peter Pesci, Joe Manchin, what's his name? Yeah.
Joe Pesci.
He was in it along with Robert De Niro and anyway, great cast, great movie. Yeah, the Iron Man. The Iron Man?
The Iron Man. Excellent. I love that
movie. What was it called?
No, that's the superhero, Andy.
The Irishman.
The Irishman.
Irishman. Oh, okay. The Irishman. Yeah, here we go. Great movie. Yeah.
Awesome.
Anyway, we're trying to... Yeah, we need to get... what was it going to be? I don't remember. Anyway.
A drink? Yes, I think we should get a drink.
That's Monday's show, and you don't want to miss it. We come to you live, in case those of you who are tuning in now, we did change our time schedule. The show is now 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, whatever time zone that is in the world. Speaking of time zones in the world, I've got an interesting stat to present to you guys. And you know how we are on numbers. You know how Cornell is up on numbers. Cornell is a numbers man, right? Cornell, numbers, right?
That's what he does.
I want to tell you guys now that China is now 5% of our listenership, up from 1%, and growing.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess
in
all fairness, we do ask them a lot.
I know.
We
promote them a lot. What about China?
Absolutely. Yeah. We ask them so many questions, and they're ever so kind.
Yeah, I mean, let me pull up the map here real quick. China is growing to the point where the maps where we are in, I mean, we're all over the world. We're in 20-some countries, and all those countries that are light blue, we have small groups of listeners. I mean, they're there. We're there. I mean, enough to light up the map. You know, it's not one person. It's more than, you know what I mean? It's a small number of the population, very, very small.
Yes.
In some cases, it could be big. But when you start getting over, I think over 5%, over 5%, the color, the light blue becomes dark blue. For example, United States is real dark. 76% of our listeners are in the United States, right? China is dark blue now, with almost 6% of our listeners in China.
Wow.
Which exceeds the UK, which after Amanda left the UK and went to Mexico. the UK dropped from Amanda, you were floating right around 9.5, between 9 and 9.8%. We touched it, as I recall, right? UK, since you left there, went from almost 10% of our listenership to 1.71.
Oh my goodness! Oh,
but you're back.
I'm sorry.
You're back.
I am.
Going to build that up. Mexico, yes. Mexico is went up. Mexico went up. Yeah.
Since I left.
Wow.
I
no,
see a pattern forming here, Andy.
Since you went there, Mexico is very small. It barely showed. Mexico is now – it's coming down. Mexico is coming down.
Oh, no.
It's yeah, but but UK has dropped off significantly. And it ever since you left it, because we had – you know, you're being from the UK and anchoring the show from the UK live. And we're the only show in the world, the only live talk show in the world that does that, that joins two countries.
Yes, yeah.
But you being in the UK, I think was significant in terms of our listenership, and it will build again. And we, you know,
absolutely.
Welcome and thank all
I
you
will,
folks in the UK. Yeah,
I will walk around and get them back personally. I said, sorry, I left you. I am back.
Yes.
I do love you. I didn't forget you.
Yes.
And no one else is growing. I'm just looking real quick as I scan all these countries that are listening in. India is growing over 3%.
Yeah.
That's great
We're
news.
Also, and wow. Also, this little country here. It's like
1%.
It must. It's a tiny little. Can I blow this up? What is this little country? Wait a minute. It's a little tiny blue country
it's
or something.
Park.
I gotta blow it up. We have listeners that are doing something.
Okay.
It looks like it's in right off. I gotta blow this up and it won't blow up. Give me. I click on this thing. It ain't blowing up on me. I gotta figure out what this country is. Huh.
Okay,
you
need to be careful of our words with blowing up in country right now.
I got it. Here's a little country. This is what they're doing. Yeah, got it.
Oh my.
Oh, God.
Oh, all right.
Wait. It's coming up now.
Oh,
I don't think
my.
I
can.
Let them stay where they at.
Oh, man. Did someone slip some laxatives in your food?
What are they doing over there?
That sounds really
good. Did you have Taco Bell again for lunch?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, Andy. And it's still going.
I don't know.
You know, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that bathroom.
I've got to click off. I've got to try to click off this country. Get go. Wait.
Yeah. I think this country is a swamp right now.
Go away. Oh
my God. Tell that country to get out of here.
Please.
Well,
this is a big crowd.
Yeah, man.
I need a toilet like that.
It's a big something, I tell you.
Yeah, I need a toilet like that.
Don't ask me. Ask China that question.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks. They're going to pop up some more.
Oh, my goodness.
They're hugging and kissing.
Yeah, man, oh, man.
Oh, I love it when they get friendly.
Oh, God. You know.
I think that's what they said after that experience. My goodness. Yes.
I don't know how many folks here have been tuning into the Congressional Investigative Committee hearings on January 6th, but it is unreal.
Yes.
It is unreal.
Yes, I was going to comment on that. Yeah.
Feel free to. I was going, and you know, I guess we need to really dive in and be responsible commentators, if that's what you call us, whatever.
Yes. But
I guess we are broadcasting on streaming around the world, and I guess we are commenting, so that must make us commentators.
Whether it's to people's liking, I'm not sure, but we do our best to talk about it. We talk about things in a casual manner, but we do, like you said, implement facts, and we try to take things from reliable sources. And not just, you know, find some random stuff on the internet to talk about. And we try to give our personal take on things. And that's always going to be varied from person to person. But we try to stay fairly level-headed on this show and throw a little humor in here and there to keep things light. But, you know, we're not acting like anybody.
What is the latest regarding the election of your new prime ministers over there?
I've not found any update on it.
Okay.
We're still waiting for that last vote, which will be by ballot or online in the post. So, yeah, we got to wait for that. It's going to be between early August and September the 2nd, and then we'll find out on September the 5th who it's going to be. But I hear Liz Truss is gaining a lot of trust, and I really do hope she's the one to come forward. She seems like a lovely lady, and it'd be great to have another lady in leadership to bring some new flavor to the country. And she sounds like she's got some good things lined up for us. So in my personal preference, I think I got a good feeling towards her. I like where she's going with what she's proposing compared to Rishi. And he's a lovely guy, like I said. Just I feel more swayed towards her right now. So it'd be interesting to get the feedback of the UK people, us Britons, and see what they say.
Yeah, and to our UK audience, you can connect with the show, even though you can't call in unless you have international calling, which the number is 1-515-605-9888. If you can do it. That number applies to around the world. That's our call-in live studio number. But there is another way to connect live with the Andy and Amanda Show, and that is if you send us an email at andyandamandashow@gmail.com and let us know you want to join us, we will send you a link. So you'll get it on the internet. You'll get it in your email. And it'll give you a link. You push a button and it'll link you to the show, and you're free to join our show and join our conversation, talk about what you like to talk about. And as long as you have a headset and a microphone, because you're talking via the internet, and you can join the show that way. Also, what we don't talk about much, what we used to every once in a while, actually used to check it every once in a while, if you go to blogtalkradio.com/AndyAndAmandaShow, first of all, you can check out all 400 some odd shows. But besides that, you're able to text us your comments, thoughts, suggestions, whatever you'd like to talk about, and we will respond either by text if you'd like us to, if you don't want us to mention you on the show. We can send text messages back via the blogtalkradio.com/AndyAndAmandaShow site. So you can do that live when we're broadcasting. When we're on the air, feel free to send us a text as well. You can do that. We don't talk about that much, but it's another way to connect with us.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we would love to have you.
And then we have social media. What's our social, what do you call it there?
Our social media addresses. Well, Instagram is pretty much what it is, at the Andy and Amanda Show. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, you can find us, the Andy and Amanda Show. Just if you can't remember that, just hit Google. Google's always the classic place to go. Andy and Amanda Show, it will bring up everything you need to stalk us. And
or Andy.
But yeah,
and also, and Amanda, we got to mention this, that Amanda Love is an amazingly talented composer and musician and singer.
Oh,
and you can check out her music at Amanda Love Music on Facebook, I believe, right? Is that right?
I have a page on Facebook, but yeah, I do have a YouTube channel as well, just called Amanda Love Music, which tends to get lost amongst many Amanda Loves on YouTube. But, you know, I'm working my way through that. But yeah, I'm there somewhere.
Yeah.
And you can hear my music at Pornhub.com.
Oh boy!
No.
What? What is this?
That was a good one, Andy.
Right.
That was a good one.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Oh, it's getting very personal. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Aye, aye.
If you
want to
hear my music, if you want to hear my music, guys, just come over to my house and listen to it.
Yes. Please do. It's fun to hang out with. Yeah. Definitely.
And Cornell will brief you on...
One of my favorite things is I'm going to make you want to have sex. So you should go for it.
Yes. You are so serious.
Oh, yeah. Life is so serious that we love to get on this show and have a bit of a laugh. I mean,
And it's a Friday show, you know.
Well, that's true. That kind of adds to the whole, you know, essence of the show. Yes, yes.
So, you know, I'm hoping that everybody tuned in to what was revealed yesterday's congressional televised primetime hearing, which detailed the 187 minutes of the January 6th insurrection and what Trump did almost minute by minute during that. And it's appalling. It's absolutely appalling, despite what his family told him, his advisors, his lawyers, everybody but Rudy Giuliani, everybody else but Rudy Giuliani, said, you got to stop this right now. And he had the power to stop it. He had the ability to stop it, and he wouldn't do it. And I think I know he's culpable for what happened on January 6th. People died. People died.
Yeah.
And he could have stopped it before they did.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into, firstly, we don't have time, but I'm not going to go into, I think what we'll do is I'm going to try to generate maybe over the weekend or shortly thereafter, some of the highlights of what was factually presented over that hearing. The next one's in September. So maybe what we'll do, guys, is make up like a highlight reel over the past hearings, you know, kind of pick up some of the highlights. And I'm sure other people have done the same. We'll talk about some of those things on the show. And here's the thing, folks. I am not a Democrat, and I am not a Republican. And in fact, I am against the two-party system. I'm against it. I think it's especially now more than ever. You know, I've never seen such divisionism in our country. I don't think there ever has been. And I think back to George Washington, where he said, once we start dividing ourselves and accusing ourselves because of our party system, it's time to move on. And I've always been a proponent of the intellect, of the ideology, of the philosophy, of the experience, of the education, of a what you want to call, I guess, a politician, as opposed to here's a person of this party and here's their platform and here's what they represent. I think if we started, of course, the Electoral College, the premise of the Electoral College is couldn't exist without a party form vote, Democrat, Republican, it's two. There's not three or four there. There's two, Democrat, Republican, really. So I don't know how it would work, but I'm independent. As a matter of fact, I was a registered Democrat and I'm proud to say that at one time and proud for what the party stood for. What's interesting? At one time, if you go way back, let me see how far back. If you go back, I don't know. If you go back, Kennedy, maybe before that, I don't know. I have to think. But if you go back, the Democratic Party was representative of the working person, of the union, of the poor, of the and that's what it was known for. And the Republican Party was depicted as being a party of the elite. And it seems to me that now you're looking at folks accusing these Democrats as being very wealthy, well-educated people who don't have any issues, and yet they're the elitists who are, want to support the poor and put more money into education and help everybody. But it's these snobby, elitists that are Democrats that are calling all those shots. And the Republicans seem to be the ones that are kind of reaching down and really doing something, not just talking about it, but doing something to establish policy and issues. And, there's probably some variance in that, but it just seems to be the rhetoric in what we're seeing right now. It's kind of interesting how there's been like a flip-flop of what the parties are, and it's...
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually, as an outsider, of what you just said.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's flip-flop.
Pretty much so.
And because just me, just speaking as me, when we talk about issues and policies and politics and wrongdoings that take place under our noses under the very society that we all have to participate in, hopefully in a friendly manner, it would seem that a lot of the things I say, just speaking as Andy, come from a more liberal or skewed, leftist, if you will, platform, when in fact, I'm not a leftist, and I'm probably think more as what you might define liberals being. I want to help the people who need help. I want to education. I want to feed the people who are hungry. I want to provide the same rights to women as men have and the same pay as men get. If you think that's liberal, then okay, I'm a liberal and proud to be one. But
I think that's the issue, isn't it? That's the divide.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's a perfect example.
Yeah. And there you go. But the things I say and the way I say them as me is just from thinking and looking and experiencing. That's all. Witnessing what we see and doing the right thing and making hopefully a better life available for those, for all of us. You know, and if that's being a liberal or the way we go about doing that, if that's considered being a liberal, then maybe I am a liberal. I don't know. But I think I'm all for, you know, business succeeding, letting businesses do their own thing, letting them hire as many as they can hire, getting people off unemployment. And the way you do that is you cut taxes for corporations so they can afford to grow and hire more people. And then the government gets the W-2 tax withholding from all those employees that they hire. But does that really happen in the real world, or am I being idealistic? Because most of the companies who make a lot of money give that to rich people, shareholders, who then buy yachts and hide them offshore so they don't have to pay any U.S. taxes. So maybe it doesn't work in the real world. But in theory, in my idealistic mind, it wouldn't it be great if we can give tax breaks to companies depending on how many people they employ. But don't we do that anyway? I don't know. Don't you tax rate also when you hire people? But then you got to pay 15% matching over your withholding. I don't know. Anyway, all topics of discussion on our show. And we'd love to have as many people participate in those conversations as possible. And we've never met, and none of us have met. We over 400 some shows we've never met, and Amanda and I have this perfect internet marriage. You know, we are amazing internet marriage. We've never met each other.
Incredible, just mind blowing.
Isn't it mind blowing?
Oh, it is. Know?
Maybe that's what makes it work so well.
Wow.
So that is a good one. So I like that.
We don't. When we cut the check, we don't need to meet you.
I mean, think of the divorce rate. Think of the divorce rate. You know, it would never occur. And how well Amanda and I get along in every respect.
Yes.
In every.
Oh, Lord. I know, right?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy.